to ask you to place your left hand on the shoulder of the man to your left.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trading Places Minute. I am Tom Taylor. I don't usually say that first. Usually I tell you what the show is, which is the Trading Places Minute, where we discuss the film Trading Places 1 minute at a time, and then I kick it over to my friend Mike DiMaria. Hello, Mike.
Hello, but I think the guy sitting next to wherever Beaks is going to come speak, The guy with the magnificent head of white hair.
Yes.
He's a guy that shows up in movies, too, or looks like somebody.
I think that is Hal Holbrook playing Mark Twain right there. That's who that is. That's why you're.
It looks like Hal. That's who it looks like. Hal Holbrook.
It does.
I'm gonna look him up too to see Hal Holbrook. Go ahead. Go move to Dan.
Sorry. Okay, Dan's over here. Hi, Dan. Dan's making coffee.
Holbrook. Yeah, Robert Gresham.
Hal Holbrook. I shall
Trading Places.
Okay.
Harold Rowe.
He did a one man show as Mark Twain. That's
what he did, and he was in Creepshow. That's everything you need to know about him. And he was you know what I hate about the
Deep Throat. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Deep Throat, and when they finally revealed who Deep Throat was in real life,
Mark Felt.
What his actual identity, Mark Felt. I didn't see one single interview or even mention of Hal Holbrook. Like, nobody picked his brain about, "Oh, what do you think you didn't know who he was then, who you were playing, but now you know." That bothered me.
Or you might say to Deep Throat, "How do you think Hal Holbrook did?"
Yes.
Not even knowing who you were.
Right. Ah. And another thing, Vonnegut, another thing about the whole thing, there were all those Nixon tapes that were released that you can listen to, like where they're just like chatting about this and that because he's recording himself constantly. They knew who Mark Felt was the entire time. They're like, this FBI guy Felt, he's like talking to the press. He's talking to those bozos at the Washington Post or whatever. Like they knew the entire time. That's really weird.
So they knew, but why didn't they...
I don't know.
Wouldn't they have nowadays started a sort of a campaign against him to take him down and treat him like a traitor or a?
I would think so.
This is interesting.
Kind of like Julian Assange kind of approach.
Right. Maybe we just weren't that.
Here's interesting. Here's what's interesting.
Uh-oh.
So I was looking up.
We'll be the judge of
it. I looked up Hal Holbrook Trading Places, right? So I got to this web. I got to this website called MyCast. Your cast counts. So it's like, fan casting roles for movies. So it said, what if Trading Places was made 20 years later in 2003? Who would? So it lays it out like an IMDb page. Mm-hmm. And so Lewis Winthorpe III would be played by Jason Bateman. Cast your vote. So you vote on this. William Valentine, Billy Ray, would be played by Dave Chappelle. Vote.
Maybe.
Randolph Duke would be played by Hal Holbrook.
I'm thinking it would have been, what's his name? The other actor, the short comedian. It wouldn't have been Chappelle.
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. That could be. That'd be
so
great.
So Randolph Duke would be Hal Holbrook. Mortimer Duke would be Christopher Plummer.
Oh, perfect.
And Coleman would be played by Patrick Stewart.
I like it. That's good. None of it's as good as the actual movie, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And Todd would be played by Christopher McDonald, who was Shooter McGavin from, I could see that,
really
kind of
good.
Like an asshole Connecticut type.
Uh-huh.
Nathan Schuckman.
Clarence Beeks would be played by Peter Krause.
What about Penelope?
By Rosario Dawson.
Oh. All right. Whatever.
I don't know. Rosario Dawson's got a little too much going on. I think Penelope benefits from being this sort of a
blank slate. But do you think that she would, this is, again, we're talking about very conservative East Coast money people. Mm-hmm. Would they approve of Lewis Winthorpe having like an interracial
even 20 years later? I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe. Oh, well. Okay. All
right. Maybe the movie would approve, but they wouldn't.
Let's do the bookends.
Let's do it. We're doing it. This is minute 36 of Trading Places, and this begins with Clarence Beeks taking the podium and guiding the assembled gentlemen through some weird touching and pocket stuff, and it ends with him delivering the shocking news that they marked three $50 bills with red X's.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is very strange.
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about it. I'm going to start with, why does he have them all put their hands on the shoulder of the guy next to them?
Well, that's
like, why
the problem
is that a part of this thing?
So this is the problem. I'll set it up and we can talk about it. Okay. So if they thought a thief was here, right?
Yeah.
They bring in Mr. Beeks.
Right.
Then they set up a sting. Is that what this happened here? They set up a sting.
I guess,
and they were able to observe every moment of the sting, right? Mm-hmm. Because then they say, aha, the $50 bills that we marked with an X, we know who took it.
Yeah.
We watched them put it in their left pocket, mind you.
Right.
And it just happened minutes ago because we need to catch them before they shift it to a different pocket or move anything.
Okay. That actually does make sense. Yeah, because in the next minute they say, well, it kind of, well, why doesn't it make sense? Because I was wondering why.
Well, it makes sense
they...
that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
But so.
He does say in the next minute that one of their operatives observed the theft. Mm. So like it did just happen and it was observed. But why go through the.
The question is, were they setting up somebody to steal? Or did they observe somebody stealing ahead of time and they said, we need to catch the bastard? Or they said, let's just fuck with somebody and see if somebody steals the $50. So it's like what they call entrapment.
Right. But even if, let's say that there was a thief, it had happened a few times and they brought in Lyndhurst Security to observe the coat room or something to see if they can observe a theft. And then they do. Why wouldn't they just go apprehend whoever had just taken the $50?
Yeah, why you got to make a big rigmarole of it?
Yeah, embarrass him in front of all his friends.
Because they need to, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's
the point.
So
you're saying why would they do it if you're playing out the scenario in real life? Or why would they do it, you know, in the movie?
In the movie, it makes sense. In the movie, you want it's dramatic. Everybody sees it. It's, oh my gosh, peas and carrots. Oh my gosh, rumble.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
And get a harumph out of that guy. But then, yeah, like practically, you wonder why it's a big theatrical thing.
I try not to steal cash that has three big red conspicuous X's on it.
It's
that's
suspicious.
Just generally, that's just me.
Yeah, or if it has like an electronic tracker of some kind on it. Or if
and
it
a matter of fact,
blue
I might start
me.
Taking all of my cash and just putting big red X's on it.
Yeah.
Prophylactically.
Exactly.
Prevent anyone from stealing it.
I like to do lots of prophylactic things with my money. With
my
paper cash.
Oh, Pete's Tom, you had
what?
To do that.
I thought that's what we were talking about. I'm so sorry. Also, I do want to, I don't, like, even given, okay, we're going to publicly show what everybody has in their left coat pocket and that one of these people has the three X's, why do the thing with the putting your left shoulder on the, or left hand on the shoulder of the person to your left? Why do that part first? And then awkwardly reach over with your other hand and go into the pocket of the other guy.
So you can see everything.
Yeah, so you can see everything, and you can prevent any, you know, any prospective thief, you know, any prestidigitation that he might.
So if you said empty your own pockets, the thief would say, "Oh, the jig is up. I'm going to drop the money on the floor or something."
But why not just have everybody reach into the pocket of the person to their right? Why not just do that? Why do the hand on the shoulder thing?
I don't know, Tom.
The only thing I can think of.
Control the situation.
Okay. So people, your hand is over here. If you're trying to stop somebody from getting into your pocket, it'll be a big thing and you have to take your hand down and stuff. The only, the much more juvenile thing I thought of was that if everybody was just reaching into the pocket ahead of them, of the person next to them, they would all be turning that way and everybody would be reaching around to the front of the person. It would look like a big elephant walk sort of thing or something. Big grabassery sort of thing going on.
I have no idea.
Grab ass. Put your hand in another. Grab the ass of the man.
That's not my pocket.
On the left butt cheek, please.
I don't have any X's in there. I got a star somewhere, but not an X.
Right.
Put your fingers in the mouth of the man next to you.
Whisper sweet nothings into the ear of the man next to you.
Now suck on the fingers. Yeah, I just wanted to see you do that.
Do that thing I like. To the man next to you.
Yeah. Now do it again while looking in the camera that's up there. Thank you. My work here is done. You have all provided me with entertainment for the next six months.
I got to look up this Lyndhurst Security. Yeah. What sort of consulting firm is this?
Yeah. We are an organization that specializes in rich old man fetish porn.
Exactly.
Our biggest request is old men sucking each other's fingers.
You see the portraits of the men above you, the oil paintings?
Yes.
These men all did the same thing that you're doing right now.
They all fed custard to each other with their fingers.
Oh, jeez. Took it too far.
On a good
the
day.
The hard way.
I tried to keep it somewhat clean.
My God.
Welcome I guess to Delicious.
Oh, Jesus.
Woo!
Do you know that my good friend Eric is the one that coined the phrase "Welcome to Delicious" for Culver's?
Really?
Yes.
That's great. What does he work for them? Is he?
No, his ad agency is there. It's their account.
Oh, nice! Mm. Awesome.
Oh, welcome to Delicious.
I like it.
That's him. Yeah.
He's got "Welcome to" and then an adjective. Very good thinking there.
Yeah.
It works. Sure.
They were all freaking out, and he's like, "Welcome to Delicious."
And when I when I'm there, I feel I feel like I am welcome to Delicious.
Yeah.
I do want you have to wonder, like, okay, yes, they found the three X's, the money with the three X's. You have to wonder what other horrifying things some of these people might have in their pockets that had nothing to do with this whole sting.
Yeah,
and like, oh, great,
they could have done. Yeah, it's an opportunity for some sight gags there.
Yeah,
like one guy could have found some dentures.
Yeah, well, dentures. I think that would have been funny. Is Mr. Beaks is walking along the table, he just looks down, and you see his sight line.
How about those little toy mouth that they found in Toy Story? The teacher,
yeah,
the chattering one,
some ladies' panties, a human finger,
yeah. Prophylactic.
One bar of chocolate,
one bar of chocolate,
one soiled.
Oh man,
that was a missed opportunity right there. That was sight gaggery.
Way to go, Landis.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there. Although it might happen next minute. We don't know. We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we know.
We know.
Another guy with just like a wad of cash and a red marker. Like, man, I think this guy might be involved too.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, just a red marker.
Yeah.
It's just a red marker.
We got your
and
red
you see
marker.
The hand next to it. He's got marker stains on his hand.
Like I always had in school. I've had that problem too, where I can't just keep things nice. Like if I have a suit on or something, I'm guaranteed to get like some pen on it, or a marker or a little bit of I got some pizza sauce.
Try to be left-handed and going through school and writing over what you had to write, and then you had stuff. It's always smeared on your hands. You mentioned a suit. You mentioned a suit. So I was listening to minute. I don't know what minute I was just listening to. Let me look. But you had mentioned. You had mentioned that you had a suit. You had a wedding.
I
bought a suit a year, but maybe 6 months before that or something. And then I was going to go to a wedding. I was worried if I would fit into the suit.
So I wanted to follow up.
I barely fit into the suit.
Okay.
Like I said, as quoted in Christmas Story, I felt like a tick who's about to pop. I did fit into the suit. And when I sat down, it was a very precarious situation.
Oh, okay.
Felt like there's just a lot of potential energy. Felt like the inside of a fat man right before they dropped it.
Yeah.
On Hiroshima.
Go ahead.
And
just trying to remember.
So that was it. But now, if I tried to put on the suit, it absolutely would not fit. No question. I don't even need to bother trying.
Yeah.
So it's diet time now in the new year. I'm cutting down.
There you go. Let's all do it.
Cutting out some of the drinking.
Yeah.
If not all of the drinking.
And, keep it to coffee.
I have the same anxiety though.
Yeah.
And you had asked him, Dan, you're like, what? Dan's like, the suit's right over there hanging up. You're like, why don't you go try it on? The worst thing to do is when you're planning to go to something and then you don't want to try it on until the last minute. Like if my suit's in here.
Yeah. You're dreading it.
I'll say, prepare. I should probably try it on now. So then if it doesn't fit, I can go to the store and buy something and cobble something together. Yeah. But you don't want that inevitability of like, fuck, I just let my life go to shit.
You don't want to rather wait.
Yeah. I should probably buy a second suit because I tend to fluctuate a little bit. So I should get a suit for this body and I have a suit for my other body.
Then
so
we're
I have
back
a regular suit
and
I have a fat suit.
Right.
I should also get a fat suit. That'd be a third suit.
Yeah. It's got a big stop making sense
I'll have
suit.
A regular suit and a fat suit and a fat suit.
There you go.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I just bought a new suit last year, like almost exactly a year ago, and I have doubts in my mind whether I would fit into it right now or not.
And Tom, you can't just go to the store and get it off the rack, can you?
Generally, no.
And then
it needs to be a little taken out here and there. Yeah.
Every suit does, but I just mean do you have to go to a special store? Or
I don't have to go to a special store, but I do have to get
it and get the largest suit, and then you have to get it tailored because most guys are going to be thicker.
Right.
Not all of them are going to be like spindly, nerdy types, right? With the small shoulders and the dainty waist. And
my problem is I'm spindly, but I don't have the dainty waist. I've got like you once described Dan as a fingerling potato. Like I'm tall. I'm very tall and straight, but also kind of lumpy. So, it's a lot of me to love. in all the wrong ways.
That's good.
That's great.
I want you to love vertically. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's better than horizontally, my friend.
That's sure. Right. That's what they all say.
What else is going on, guys, with this minute? They stole the money. Somebody stole the money. Who could it be?
This is the Treatment. Plot shift. It's about That's to right. happen. It's not mine. I've never seen that before in a day in my life.
We need to watch out for that because, I mean, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I always notice, and my sister always noticed, he says that exact phrase, I think, 3 times in the movie. I've never seen blank before in my life.
Yeah, because I've
seen it before in my PCP. Life.
Yeah.
Angel, it's not, yeah, it's Angel's Dust, PCP.
Men tried to have sex with me.
Not the kind of business we want here at First National.
Now, if I'm one of the other guys in the firm, and it was a very well-known incident that he had with a man on the street recently who he fought off, I would think that maybe the man on the street is the main culprit of stashing the marked $50 bills in his pocket. Like, why would you suspect this upstanding member of the community?
I guess because
incidentally is white.
That's true.
But these guys are all racists.
According to Beeks, it just happened in the coat room. I mean, again, this comes out next minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, I get the impression that, you know, us three, even if we were wearing suits a lot, which we're not, I mean, Mike is somewhat, but it's probably, for these guys, it's probably not the sort of thing like, oh, I still have that napkin in my pocket from the last time I wore this. You know, they probably get it tailored and cleaned, whatever, and pressed and stuff. Tom tailored. Hey!
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So anything that might have been slipped into his pocket a few days ago would not still be there.
Yeah.
I would think.
You've been tailored.
You know what I need? I would like to have a tailor that not only or cleans my stuff, but also removes items out of my pocket, separates them into things I that can be thrown away or recycled and things that I may need.
That's called a mom.
Such as if they find a chapstick. Exactly. That's what my mom used to do. I need that. I need a mommy is what my plan is.
Yes,
and I need her to take out the chapsticks and separate them and go, we're going to need these.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the wadded up gum wrappers, she could throw those away.
Yeah.
And napkins, unless they have equations on one side that get rid of those.
But I mean, you know, my mom would do a lot of that for me, and I would be like, "Mom, where's that watered up piece of thing? I needed that." You know, like she doesn't know all my secrets.
Right. Yeah. I would get mad at my mom sometimes for putting things away in a good where they should go.
Right.
I'm like, I knew this was in the corner of my bedroom, sitting on the floor, and now it's gone.
I don't know if you saw me last minute. I was scrambling looking for these the trivia cards. Not yet, Jimmy. I just said trivia.
Don't play the music. That's the thing. I don't like having a producer who's got his finger on. He's got a hair trigger like that.
He's very eager. That's the thing. We want that. We like that about him. But, yeah. But no, I was looking for these because my wife had just tidied up, and I didn't know where anything was. That's the sort of thing that happens.
Yeah, the tidying up. Nothing worse.
I mean, it's on the one hand, it's great, but it's like, yeah, like you said, I knew where it was. I knew it was not where it was supposed to be, but I knew where it was. And now I don't know where it is because where is it supposed to be?
Right. Done and done.
I was thinking of you the other day, Mike, because I realized that you used to talk about, I don't know if you've done it on this show yet, but on Blues Brothers and stuff, you would talk about your various zombie apocalypse end of the world scenarios. You'd be sitting there, you've just discovered a fridge full of peanut butter or whatever, and you're just eating the entire thing of peanut butter before the next wave of zombies comes.
Oh,
I realized that I do that with my attic in our house. It's like, the, you know, you pull the
rubbing
down
out of
the string.
Pull the string and the stairs come down and you go up into the attic. Yeah, when I'm up in the attic, it's fantastic. It's just beautiful.
You got a
storage. You can get stuff out of the way. You can put your trivia cards up there. You don't know where they are. But I'm up there, and as I'm coming back down, like I put the luggage away or whatever. I'm coming back down, and in my head, I'm like, oh, I just found this barn with this trap door in the thing. And if the zombies don't find me, I'm just going to go down this thing. And I go down this thing. Oh, my God. It's like a house. I'm in like a suburban house. And like, I'll close the thing and I look around and then like, I'm in this whole new world. And up above me is this portal to a farmhouse.
How would you not know from the attic that you were in a house?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Because it seems like a barn or something. It's like a loft in a barn or something. And there's this.
Oh,
like,
so you pretend that you didn't know anything about, you were born in that
my
barn?
My narrative starts like in media res and it's like.
And you got to the barn without knowing that you had to go through a house to get there.
Why is this barn filled with Christmas decorations in boxes and luggage.
Why is this filled with VHS tape?
You don't make
They're gonna.
What's going on here?
They're gonna get wrecked in the cold.
Woken up in some nerd's house. Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I am the nerd.
I'm remembering now. I'm Tom Taylor.
Nice try.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have anything.
I'll give you a better. This is something that I do regularly, and you're making light of it. I did it yesterday.
This is a sacrilege. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something.
Goes to a lot of peanut butter.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays. No, it's not always about food. If you both shut the fuck up and let,
I shan't.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, I drop my dog. I take my daughter to volleyball and pick her up. It's a late practice. So we get home at like 10:30 and then I come home, right? Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I'm fucking exhausted.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm getting to the safe house where I can crash, right? I play this game all the time. I get out of the car and then I sometimes, because I have to do something to keep my mind occupied or I'm tired.
Yeah.
So then I run to the door and fumble with the keys. I sometimes make light of it. Like, oh my God, I can't make a big scene because...
No, you're making light of it.
Right. And because they're out there. They're out there and they're watching.
You want to draw attention.
I get the door open and then I was like, oh, whoever was here before. Okay, hopefully they left me some food. I flip the lights on. My God, the electricity generator still works. Good.
Still works.
Oh, I go, it's cold in here, even though it's not.
Food. Do they have food? Yeah.
I'll grab a quick snack and I'll be like, oh, that's just enough sustenance to take me. Right. So then I'm...
Seinfeld.
Then I'm like, okay, got to get to bed. Get under the
Netflix
covers.
Is still hooked up.
You got to get under the covers and lock yourself in and stop moving.
Uh-huh. Got it. Right.
And that's because it's a little game you play with yourself, and then you fall
asleep.
See
how it's different, though, Tom?
Now, why am I not allowed to play my games?
Arriving at the house. Why would you be in an attic and then be surprised there's a house beneath it?
It's got a fantasy science fiction element.
Again, it's Tom trying to.
I was expecting to go
something.
Down further into this barn, but oh my God, there's a house here, and people live here. I guess I'll take the role of the husband. I'll be this lady's wife, this guy's husband.
Back to the, like, when he was. Back when he was talking about.
It's your fantasy, Tom. You can do whatever you want. You could be this lady's wife, whatever you want.
I'll be the mailman.
And Tom's just trying to be part of the club, Mike.
That's what
I
want to
have an interesting life too, Mike.
I was acting like wearing a tie. You just fucking do it. Here he's acting like he's creative.
He's acting like he had a house.
Fucking creative.
I'm acting like I'm demented, like Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I've never done any of the things that you're talking about right now. Yeah. I've never experienced this, but I might try it.
The other thing, the one I did all the time was at work as like 5 o'clock, whatever quitting time was, rolled around. I would begin to like slowly, kind of like Quint when he notices the, I'll skip that part. I would secretly get my stuff together. I'm like, okay, no one's going to notice.
I'm going to need a bigger attic.
Like, I did something like, I erased everything on the computers, or I set a bomb or something. Oh, geez, and I'm getting out of the building just as like they're starting to figure out that I'm gone and I shouldn't be gone. And they're just starting all the security measures to like lock me in, like kind of Get Smart style. Mm-hmm. But I get out just in time and then I'm on my way and there's other things can do about it. I made my escape.
The only time I've ever done this is when I'm like fumbling with my keys to get in as fast as possible because I live in Oakland. Is when there's someone actually chasing me. I've never actually done the fake one.
So you're doing it wrong.
The zombies.
Real. Yeah. Oh well. You should give it a shot. Pretend the guy chasing you is a zombie.
Or it's like the big where the wild things are beasts. I forgot to lock the top door, and they're like right outside going blah, 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 and they're about to open the door, and then as soon as you lock it, they just turn around and walk away.
I do that one, Mike. I close like the blinds on the window, and I'm like, okay, like there's beasts out there trying to get in, but I cannot see them and hear them, so I'm safe now. I'm locked.
But once you lock the second thing, they stop and they like a computer game, they just walk away.
What is the matter?
You know
with
what?
Us?
Can the listeners chime in on this because Do people do this? I have never done this in my life.
2 out of 3 people.
And yet I find it fanciful and a little bit fun and delightful.
You're a little jealous.
However, I find it totally demented. Why would you do this? You don't need to do this.
Because it feels good.
It does feel good, and it's kind of fun, and you win every time.
Yeah, because we're crazy.
No, I don't
we're
anything that feels good, and it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Beats living.
This is what happens when you get into suburban life like you guys got.
Uh-huh.
You gotta like make up adventure movies that happen in your head.
That rabbit in the backyard's talking to me. He just granted me 3 wishes. That's fantastic. I win again like always.
I wish for a glass of iced tea. Oh my God, I've got one.
Yeah, we play games. Another game I play is we talked about this, where you touch yourself on the face. as gently as possible. And you get to a point where it's like, oh, and you can't take it anymore.
I've done that.
And it feels great.
I have done
that.
And
I found, I don't know what you're talking
multiple
about.
Multiple fingers though.
Yeah.
I do.
No. And I found, right. And I, cause the sensation is like pushing it over the edge. Oh, it feels good. And then you get a chill.
It's like one electron is touching another electron.
Oh my God. I got a little, since you do it, you use the thing that you pick your teeth with.
Oh God.
With that. You touch it.
Oh, I'm not doing that. Well, maybe I will do that.
Oh, so it's not your fingers.
I've switched over. I found the spot. The spot is right here at the crease of your nose. You touch it.
Yeah, there's a highly sensitive spot.
Oh,
the forehead's good too.
Then you fall asleep immediately.
We're all messed up.
And you wake up in bed with about four of these laying in your bed.
Yeah, right. What's going on here? This man must have the cleanest teeth in three counties.
Hey, stab himself with them.
I don't use the placers anymore. I like to use the placer. It's very convenient. But the dentist keeps getting on me about how it doesn't get around the tooth. So now I'm back to doing the – I hate this flossing where you have to wrap your finger – and then my fingers go purple.
And you waste, like, more floss than you use because like, you're wrapping it up like that.
It's like I use 2 feet of floss, and then I'm having to go around every – and then my hands are jerking around in my mouth, and I'm just like, why am I doing this?
I do like that. I like the teeth. Job it does, though. I like having been flossed. Let me say that.
I love still having been teeth. Flossed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I just hate the flossing. I love having been flossed because you're sitting there and your teeth are like going like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
All clean.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, something
and
just
you
happened
run
to
some
teeth.
Like seltzer water through them and just get that nice.
Yeah.
But the actual flossing is a real pain in the ass.
We need some invention that will erase the memory of all the dumb, annoying things we have to do from our minds, but leaves us with the thing that we needed to do already done.
Like the plot of Total Recall, except for on a quotidian level of everyday life.
Exactly.
Instead of like taking you on a little thing that you remember on vacation that you didn't have, this does the reverse. It makes you the thing that you never did, the thing that you didn't like.
Yeah. Hey, I already shoveled the walk. Look at that. How'd that happen? That's great.
Yeah. Oh my God. My teeth feel very clean.
Yeah.
There's evidence here that someone flossed them. Probably was me. I don't know.
A beautiful
I have
meal
no
in
way
front
of knowing.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Good idea, Tom.
Well, thank you. I'm going to be rich.
Yeah. It's like Gleamnex.
kind of, yeah. It is like Gleamnex. You take a pill. 72 degrees in your brain.
By the way, Dave, Dan, you are still not watching Fargo, I assume, but this new season has Dave Foley in it.
I am watching
You are watching it. Tell me more.
I am watching it. I am on season two right now.
Oh, fantastic.
Season three now.
So you've watched one and two.
I love it.
See? I'm your buddy. I steered you straight.
Outstanding show.
Yeah, fantastic show.
That was like my Christmas time all through that break.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh,
falling asleep show. It takes me days and days to watch.
See, I would like to erase the memory of Fargo from my mind so I can watch it all again for the first time. That'd be great.
That would be the best. You could erase memory of shows.
Yeah.
And then watch them again. You only need like five shows.
See?
Man, I'd love to go back through what's happening.
Find out what happened.
See what happens to rerun.
What was happening? But Dave Foley, though, from Kids in the Hall. We were mentioning Kids in the Hall. Dave Foley is in the new season. And there is a moment in the new season, one of the first few episodes, that is straight out of Kids in the Hall in my mind.
They do lots of homages in that show. I don't know if you've noticed the many, many like film references. And
I mean, mostly to the Coen Brothers stuff, but
yeah, that's right, Coen Brothers, like Raising Arizona stuff. Yeah,
but there's like a little moment that is. I'm like that could be an entire Kids in the Hall sketch right there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
what a great show.
I shan't spoil it for you.
Okay, don't do it.
Should we do trivia now?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Apparently, we're doing trivia.
The music's playing.
That's when you hit the button. Thank you. You nailed it. What joyful song is sung in a bathtub at the beginning of The Big Chill?
No idea.
I don't remember that movie.
Motown song.
Isn't it off-screen Kevin Costner kill himself at the beginning of that movie in a bathtub?
I have no interest in those.
Joy
movies.
To the World.
Yeah.
All right.
Three Dog Night.
Right.
All the boys.
The soundtrack was very big. What was the first flick to bring Sissy Spacek and Mel Gibson together? Jesus.
The first of many. Famous duo. Sissy Spacek and Mel Gibson were in Lethal Weapon. That should be Lethal Weapon, right? Because she was in the other cop was Sissy Spacek.
She was
Spacek.
Getting too old for this shit. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It was Danny Glover. I'm sorry. I get confused all the time.
Danny Glover was in Carrie. They're all going to laugh at you. The movie is The River, which I dimly remember. Who cares? Who sings the Patsy Cline songs in Sweet Dreams? That starred Jessica Lange. I'm assuming it's not Jessica Lange. It's probably just Patsy Cline.
That's a good, could be one of these trick questions. Could it be, who played the coal miner's daughter?
Sissy Spacek.
My answer is Sissy Spacek.
The answer is Patsy Cline. Look at
that. Oh, for God's sakes.
It figures.
Why not let Patsy Cline sing her own damn songs?
Yeah.
They do this in movies where they're like, oh, he sang his own songs. Right. And you're like, yeah, he sang them worse than the famous guy. Johnny Cash is a better singer. Sorry. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he does a Johnny Cash impersonation that's not as good as Johnny Cash. Wonderful.
Right. Now, how does he do that with the music that made Johnny Cash famous? Let's apply that. Same. Yeah. Forget it.
He did his own gymnastics in the Greg Louganis story. He did his own dives. Yeah. He wasn't as good of a diver. There was lots of splashing, but he did them by himself.
He died halfway through filming trying to do those same stunts, but
hit his head.
Yeah, poor guy. Sorry.
Tom, you're in your neighborhood that you're in, right?
Yeah.
Do you have these Facebook groups for the neighborhood?
We have not so much for the neighborhood,
Like the virtual town. Chatters, they're called like,
yeah, there's like a
chatters.
Dad's group and a mom's group and things.
That sounds ridiculous. Bunch of dads getting together in drum circles in the woods. Clothing
no optional. Girls allowed.
Yeah. I'm looking for recommendation for someone who can install a porcelain undermount sink in my bathroom. Any recommendations? Yeah, fucking plumber. Has anyone experienced sudden belching and intestinal gas all of a sudden? I woke up in the night
asking
with belching.
For a friend.
Yeah.
Fucking call your doctor.
Gastroenterologist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right. We're in the middle of trivia.
I have a big bleeding wound.
Yeah.
I'm losing a lot of blood. Any recommendations from
Does this polyp make me look fat?
I got a cut on my finger. What should I? What should I do? Is there anything I could use to cover it? Yeah.
Right. I have this bread. It's come as a whole loaf without. It's just there's no slicing on it. It's not sliced. Yeah. Any recommendations?
My tummy is grumbling, and I'm getting weak and fatigued and unfocused. What do I do?
Guys, I made two sandwiches, but it's only me. Does somebody want to come over and have a sandwich with me?
I'm currently mid-coitus, and I really feel like I can't last very long. What should I think about? Any recommendations?
Yeah. Oh, actually, this worked. Thank you.
Every 12 hours, I lose consciousness. Am I dying? What's going on?
It's called sleep.
Oh.
There's a big light in front of me, and I've been struggling with a terminal illness for months. What should I do?
Go to it. Walk.
Any recommendations?
Do I walk towards the light? Where do I walk?
Yeah. When I touch myself at a medium pace, it feels pretty good. Should I continue? Yeah.
Anybody ever quicken the pace? What are your experiences?
Yeah. Would some of you like to get together and discuss in person?
Yeah. Have I just lost all my precious bodily fluids? Have I sapped and purified?
That would be funny. If somebody posted in there like a circle jerk. But they did it in a way that it was like you had to read between the lines.
Yeah, read between the lines.
My buddies and I got together. We're working on this thing together.
Some ideas.
We had our own thing that we were working on, but we're doing it at the same time, coaching each other. Yeah.
I like to do things in, let's say, groups.
Yeah, sure. I'd like to. Maybe
like to get in a certain geometric shape.
Square would work, a triangle. Yeah, square.
In this case, one. A circle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Find it works better in the woods when there's nobody around.
Anybody want to not get together and not get in a circle and not jack off with each other? Wink, wink.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean between the lines.
Yeah. And if you don't want to do this, I will definitely not be at mile marker 2 in the forest preserve.
Be at the public bathroom outside of Grant Park. Yeah.
A wide berth.
The worst kind of geocaching.
What was it? I am not gay. What was that guy's name?
What?
The guy from Brain Candy?
No, the guy from the congressman.
Oh.
Came out and gave that speech. He's I am not gay.
The guy that the one from that Minnesota. Was in the bathroom in Utah trying to solicit for sex with the
double tapping on his foot.
Yeah, I heard
he was doing the double tap.
Yeah.
Big misunderstanding.
He said he's okay.
The man at his word.
Yeah. Asked and answered.
Hello. I'm at my own marker, too. It's 4:15.
We'll be here soon.
Dirty Mike and the boys.
What 1986 Robert Redford effort was originally slated to star Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray?
The Milagro Beanfield War.
Out of Africa.
Out of Africa almost has to be the answer.
Field War.
80, I'm gonna say. Oh, is it? I'm gonna say Legal Eagles.
Oh, that's a good
because
guess.
It was Legal Eagles. I kind of remember that being a thing.
Oh man.
Oh,
I want one of the answers to be Milagro Beanfield War.
It's one of these days, Dan.
Look it up. Trivia Pursuit Milagro Beanfield War. I'm sure that'll do me a match there somewhere. Question number 58 and mile marker.
What movie hero has four purple hearts, four bronze stars, two silver stars, a Medal of Honor, and a Distinguished Service Cross?
Rambo.
And a bowl of Lucky Charms.
Yeah, that's Rambo, John Rambo. Right?
That is Rambo.
Is it really?
It is.
So now, if he had all those distinctions, why is he a homeless drifter? If he had all those distinctions,
ask America, buddy.
Aware of what our vets go through, my friend.
Uh-huh. Ask
maybe
your congressman.
Commentary.
Sometimes, you know, I have some trouble.
All right, enough. I don't need to hear Stallone.
All right, and what
Milagro
movie?
Beanfield. What an exciting title that is.
That title makes you want to know more about.
Makes
the movie.
You just want to just go and pay $8 so you can fall right. asleep.
I'm gonna wait for
this.
Sequel.
It combines all of my interests: beans, and Milagro, and yeah, the municipality of Milagro.
Finally, what movie did Meryl Streep adopt a Danish accent for? Probably not French Lieutenant's Woman.
Let's go with
I just looked at the answer and it's
okay.
Fine.
Here's a
okay. Fritzy's Honor.
Out of Africa. God damn it.
Ah, for son of a bitch.
Just blurt out Color Purple or Out of Africa, and you're probably right for any of these
And you're
questions.
Going to get it right.
Okay.
This yeah. huge.
What state is the setting for Robert Redford's film, The Milagro Beanfield War?
Oh, God.
I don't know. California is probably the best guess on that one.
New Mexico. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Whoa.
Holy shit, Tom.
I'm good at this.
Jeez.
Give me another
In the tiny town. Mexico. Here we go. In the tiny town of Milagro, New Mexico.
Oh.
Where the local water is a premium resource.
Beans.
In a world.
Beans.
Shady developer Lad Divine has convinced a glitzy .. I have to clip on.
Beans. He's got to click to read more on the question.
And who wouldn't?
On a fly-by-night site is this.
I'm blowing my nose.
Are we done with the card? Why don't you mute when you blow your nose? What are you doing?
Because I got my hands are over here. I got a whole
thing. What kind of podcaster are you?
Not a very good one. All right. Should we do another? Let's do one more card. Oh, that card right.
One more Sonya card. Just
Sonya Braga.
Sonya Braga. I remember that name.
Sonya Braga.
She played Lead Bean.
Ruben Blades.
Ruben Blades. That's a fun name Ruben to say. Blades. Ruben Blades.
Ruben Blades.
What's your name, Ruben Blades?
Rubber Baby Ruben Blades.
Rubber Baby Ruben Blades.
Richard Bradford.
For the record, we are not drunk. Whose novel is the movie Altered States based on?
What's his name for the William Burroughs or something?
I want to say Naked I mean you lunch. Could be right. I want to say Paddy Chayefsky. Is that possibly right?
Timothy Leary.
If I'm right, I'm going to be excited. Wow, look at me. I have no idea how I knew that, but
yeah,
I knew that.
Paddy Chayefsky.
Jesus. That's annoying.
I am the one with the card. Happens. I'm going to know the answer to this, even though I haven't read the question yet. What does the village lose with the sacred stone in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? It loses more food than they eat in a week because they have to give it to some white people who fell from the sky.
It's manhood and respect.
And their kids.
Kalima.
They lose all their kids. The children.
What did you say, Kalima?
Kalima.
Kalima.
Very good, Dan.
If you look up,
Dan is an under the radar nerd.
There's
you don't see him coming at you, but he's there.
There's a Hindi version.
Dar. Turn your nerd dars to
fucking
stun.
I can't do the show much longer. I can't. Talking over him. There's a Bollywood version of the
You're
thriller.
Picks up on the fucking internet.
I can't fucking
you're
take
your own
I can't.
What is it, Mike? Shut up, Tom. What is it, Mike?
No,
go ahead. Let the man speak. Let the man speak. What is it, Mike? This guy's on Bing right now, looking stuff up. What is it?
Gallimard.
What is he doing?
There's a. I've seen it 1,000 times. There's a Bollywood version of the Thriller video.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's fantastic. If you've seen it once,
is it good?
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic. And he's just screaming, Gallimard! Gallimard!
And it's got the same, like, wow. Does it have the same choreography and everything?
Yeah, word. Like the song is different.
Weird.
Weird. Here, here, here you go.
No. Here, not no,
we'll
a
have
damn
to edit
thing.
That in.
Yeah, we'll have nobody to look that hear, up, edit it in. It. Nobody can hear a thing. He can't hear us because he took his headphones off.
At the risk
didn't
of
hear a word
of
it. Didn't hear a note.
And you got to watch the video.
I can imagine the song.
Yeah, I think
I'm
I think
sorry.
Our, yeah,
that's probably racist to say that, but I get the song. I've heard that song. You know what I mean?
We got no, it.
But they're doing it to the choreography of Thriller. It's fantastic. It's not. It has nothing to do with that, Dan. No, I saw what you did there. It's not that at all. Look it up.
Okay. Look this up. What 1982 original flick? Indian version. What 1982 flick is the source of the line, "Don't eyeball me, boy"? Don't eyeball me, boy.
That is Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, that is, isn't it?
It's got nowhere
I
else
think
to go.
Right. So.
I got nowhere else to go.
That is Officer. I got nowhere else to go.
Don't you quit.
Don't you do it.
Stupid.
What decade does Woody Allen's Radio Days take place in? You could also blurt out Radio Days as an answer to any questions.
I'm going to go 30s on that one. Nah, because it's pre-war, I think.
I'm going to go with Dan and say 30s. Oh, my God, it's the 40s.
Yep. Oh, well Mike, done, Mike. Good job. Radio Day.
Early 40s.
Maybe there is a war in that. That's a good movie.
That is a good movie.
Again, Julie Kavner.
Yeah. What the?
Days.
So every time Julie Kavner came up, Dan does that. Every time you bring up Stallone, he does it.
Yeah, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. We do lots of stuff.
We got our things. We all have our little peccadilloes.
All right, let's.
What 1980 movie is based on the experiences of an Arkansas State Penitentiary superintendent? Escape from Arkansas State Penitentiary. No, I don't know.
The Color Purple.
What year you said?
1980. Clickety clickety click.
I could do without looking.
Oh, there you go.
You could type without looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I barely recognize the name of this movie. I'll tell you that much. I just looked.
Gonzola Lira. That's what came up with my random texting. My random. That's a good little text.
Something random.
Just look away and type something random and see what generates.
Yeah. See what.
It's like a modern version of throwing I Ching or something. Just
what came
just
up was
type something into the search engine.
Yeah,
you see, officer, I looked away and
but do it with intention, Mike.
Type something in. It wasn't my fault.
Concentrating on
up.
Something as you look away and type randomly.
Well, I didn't. It came up Gonzolo.
Maybe your heart was looking for Gonzolo. The answer is Brubaker. Yeah, I don't know that I've heard that. I've kind of heard that. Okay. What movie has Bette Midler making her entrance while tied up in a burlap bag? You mentioned this movie on today's episode that aired today.
It's Ruthless People.
It is Ruthless People.
Oh, good
well
job.
Done, Mike. And that was trivia.
That was trivia.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold. Is that a good movie?
What's Judge Reinhold doing these days?
A good movie. I don't know. Jennifer Jason Leigh, speaking of Fargo, is in the current season of Fargo. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Wrap this up.
That keeps making me think I need to watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Do not give a shit.
You really don't need to watch it again, Tom.
Is that true?
The whole movie.
I do know. I have it burned into my mind.
There's one part of it I can think of that I do want to rewatch.
I can think of two parts.
Yeah, two parts, left and right. Hello.
Damone.
Hong Kong.
I did like Damone.
That was a hell of a shit arm.
I like Damone.
Damone's great.
He's cool.
The lady will have the linguine and clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
And a Coke with no ice. The lady. All right.
Good job. That
Mark
was
Campbell.
Minute 36, as you can tell. Mark Campbell's here to tell you that we did a great job.
Let me tell you something, too.
Thomas Edison.
Will Yurkevich.
Will Yurkevich. We keep forgetting to mention him. He is an honorary Patreon for many reasons.
Fabulous. Drummer and raconteur.
Damon Galactica.
Damon
Galactica.
Mark Campbell and Mark Mattis and Captain America himself. Mm-hmm. Thank you all. You are beautiful people helping us out, supporting the show, showing your
Mark
love.
Lavora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite Matt Dillon story.
Want to hear my favorite Damon Gallagher story?
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Do what you got to do. We will talk to you next time, next week, for Minute 37 of Trading Places, right here on the Little Old Trading Places Minute.
It'll make you shit.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.